I want to say good morning to you and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope you have been enjoying the nice weather we've been having. It's so wonderful out there. And I guess I can say that a little bit because I'm getting excited because I will not be with you for the next week or two because we are going on vacation. So they were asking me, woo! They were asking me if I was cold this morning, and I said, absolutely. And I think it's even worse because I already got vacation on my mind. So I'm even more cold today than I think normally. So I am very glad that you're here, and I thank God that whether it's 80 degrees out or 1 degree out, He is faithful, He is good, and He's with us. Amen? So let's just step into worship in a time of giving God your heart, and please let Him into your situations so that He can help you. Amen? God bless you.
Hallelujah. Are we ready to praise and worship? Let's stand to our feet. Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Praise the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. It doesn't matter if you can sing or not, just as long as it's coming from your heart. So let's praise Him this morning.
Just when I ran out of rope, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. You picked me up, you turned me around, you placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name.
I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So song to my old friends. Burden and bitterness, you just can't keep me moving. No.
Till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. You picked me up, you turned me around, you placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name. You picked me up, you turned me around, you placed my feet on.
get up out of that grave. Get up out of that grave. Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You are in this house.
Holy Spirit, take my hand now, lead me out in the living water. You're the wellspring, you're stirring, you're the life of your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is rising within me. So bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. This can be calling me.
Still, you're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still.
I want to hear you over the track.
Yes,
because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, into your love.
He's calling me deeper, deeper still.
Love keeps going deep and deeper still.
You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still.
Into your love, into your love. Open to the unseen, and my faith is rising within me. So bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Lift your hands, give the Lord his glory. Calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, there's freedom in the water. There's healing in the water. Oh Jesus, you're the river, and we'll never find the end. There's freedom in the water. There's healing in the water. Oh Jesus, you're the river, and we'll never find the end. There's freedom in the water. There's healing in the water. Oh Jesus. You're the river, and we'll never find the end. There's freedom in the water. There's healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river, and we'll never find the end. There's freedom. Calling me deeper, deeper still.
Calling me deeper, deeper.
So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, into your love. There's freedom in the water.
The river.
was freedom in the water. There was healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river. He'll never find the end. There's freedom in the water. There was healing
in the water.
Oh, Jesus, he'll never find the end. There's freedom in the water. There's healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river. He'll never find the end.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
To do whatever you want to.
We praise you, Lord, in this house. Hallelujah. Yes, God, hallelujah.
Walking
still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I surrender. it does us some good to just be quiet for a minute.
Today's the day to surrender. Surrender everything. Everything. Your life, your health, your finances, your spouses, your children, your grandchildren, your brothers, your sisters, your pastors, everything. Surrender it all, because I know what the future holds. You do not. Surrender it all. Today's the day to surrender it all.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, guys. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. I'll just leave that there for right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Praise God. Welcome, and I'm glad you're here. Amen. As you can see, I'm by myself, and that's because my dearest started vacation a day early without me. Isn't that ridiculous? I miss her already. I know that sounds, she's only been gone for one day. I'm telling you, as soon as she gets out of the car, I miss her. I'm sorry, I'm wimpy, I'm soft. I love that lady, and I'm glad she's with me. So much so that Philip even called to check on me to make, well, he didn't call me, but he did text me to make sure I was all right. So we are going to be gone for the next couple weeks, and thank goodness we're not going to be in the cold with you. but we do love you, and I'm telling you, each service is going to be blessed, so make sure you're here. Additionally, I want to remind you that we are finishing our 21 days of prayer. And we're going to pray a little bit in service today. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we'll finish up on Saturday. And each night when we come together for prayer, we do have a prayer topic that we discuss for about 10 minutes, and then we pray. So I would love it if, even if you can't be here every night, man, adjust your schedule. Make room. Do something. And let the Lord have you come out and be here from 6 to 7 and pray. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. We want to pray first in everything we do, and we want to make sure that the Lord is with us in everything we do. Amen? I want to remind you that even though I'm not going to be here, and neither is Pastor Regina, that you do have the ladies' breakfast, and it's going to be a great one this month, hallelujah, that first Saturday. So you want to make sure you're there for that. And also, this is the last day. Boy, you guys don't have to listen to me normally this much, huh? This is the last day that you can pick up your 2023 offering statements, okay? So those are up here. And some of you, if you picked them up already, you need to come back and check because there is a mistake made on some of them. So even if you got yours, you want to check because yours may be in there, edited and made right. But if you don't pick it up today, then obviously we'll put it in the mail for you. But I just want you to be available for that. And I guess right now, if that's all I'm going to say for right now, we can let the children and teens go to their class. Praise God. And then we're going to take a few minutes to do offering. And today I'm just going to remind you about a story. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17. And during a time where there is a famine, there is a prophet by the name of Elijah who the Lord was taken care of by a brook. And he'd stay at this brook, and ravens would bring this man food a couple times a day. And he was just living all blessed and under what God had him doing at that time. But the Lord spoke to him and said, hey, I need you to go into a certain city because I've commanded a widow woman, and I need you to go there. And so the prophet goes to where this widow woman is, and she sees him, and he asks for her to make him a meal, and she told him, hey, pal, I need you to know something. And she didn't say it like that, I'm sure. But she said, I need you to know something. I only have a little bit of meal here left, and I'm trying to make something for me and my son because this is all we have. We're going to eat this meal, and that's going to be it. And he said, oh, please, make me something first because I know that the Lord is going to basically bring blessing into your life. And really what this demonstrates to us is that sometimes when we pray, God needs us to take action steps to release our faith so that he can move on your behalf. How did he command this widow woman? She obviously made a request to him, and here he had already planned to answer her, but he needed her to be able to do something. So he sent the prophet, so she had to make a choice. No, I'm going to keep this little piece of meal and just be done with it, or I'm going to sow and do something and see what God does. And I just want to encourage you today that sometimes we forget that in order for God to move on our behalf, we have to release faith. Salvation is available to every person anytime. It's free. But they have to function. They have to confess and believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that they want to receive Jesus for it to be done. Amen? So just remind yourself that the Lord, whether it's tithing and offering or giving, whatever it is, the Lord is looking for you to hear him so that you can move and work in unity with him so that he can bring to pass things in your life. Amen? And so I just think it's great that early on in this year that we're giving and we're focused on the Lord and his goodness in our life. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for your goodness and your kindness in our life, Father. And Lord, I pray that we could be like this woman, God. That, God, we'd be open to hear what you tell us, Father, and that when we hear you, we would release our faith, God. Lord, I thank you that the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. And I also thank you, Lord, that you say that when we give, it will be given back, pressed down, good measure, running over, and we will have what it takes to meet the needs that come across our path, Father. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness, and I pray blessing over this time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Well, before we go any farther, we are going to take a few minutes to pray this morning. And what we're going to pray about basically is salvation. You know, and I want to pray about salvation in our homes, of course, as individuals, but for our family. You know, when we think about prayer, I want you to think from the smallest to the greatest avenue of what we have, not only a power and authority and a right, but a responsibility to pray for. You know, in one scripture, the Bible says in Acts 1:8 that the Lord said that after the Holy Ghost comes upon us, we're going to have power to be witnesses about him, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, in Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. And I want you to know what this represents to us is to know that the Lord expects us to have an action towards salvation to us personally and within our family, and then within our community, and then within the cities, the regions, even to the uttermost parts of the world. And even if we cannot go there ourselves, believe me, there are things that we can give to mission-wise. And of course, one of the most paramount things we can do is pray. Pray first, amen? Pray that if you can't go, someone else can. Pray that the Lord would bless those that are in that responsibility. But just make sure you open your heart and pray on everything. Pray, pray, pray. Amen? Put the Lord first. So right now I'm just going to lead us for a few minutes in prayer about salvation. And then I just want you to be in prayer about salvation. And you can pray right where you are about what God puts in your heart, or if the Lord puts a particular person in your heart, because I know that God is drawing us to people in our life to pray for. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just put prayer for salvation before you right now, God. And Father, first of all, Lord, I thank you for salvation, but God, I pray that salvation would come upon our family, Father God. I pray, Father God, right now that you are stirring our heart on who to pray for, Father, on who to lift up before you, God, so that they can come in that place of salvation, Father. Lord, I pray right now, Father, over our community, Father. I pray right now over our city, Lord God, that right now you would just be moving on the hearts of people to bring them to salvation. Father, no matter where they are, what they're going through right now, Father, whatever situation they're in, God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you are moving on their behalf to be saved, Father. Lord, I thank you that according to the word of God, we can plant and we can water, and you will bring an increase, Father. Lord, I thank you right now that in our family and in our region and in our neighborhood and in our city, Lord God, right now you are bringing salvation to people, Father God. You're stirring them up, Father. You're touching their heart, and you're bringing them to that place where they will be saved. Lord, I thank you that in our state and in the region and in the nation of America, Father God, Lord, I thank you that revival is coming, Father God. I thank you, Lord, right now that you are pouring out your spirit to touch people, God, to bring them to that place of salvation, Father. Lord, I thank you right now, Father, that God, from small personal journeys to regional journeys to just realms of revival and salvation, Father, be poured out, God. Let your spirit be poured out in this region and in this nation, Father. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that the word says that we will go from our homes to our cities, to other cities, to the regions, to the nations, Father, and even to the uttermost parts of the world, Father God. For your word must come forth to every part of the world, Father, before your return. And Lord, I just thank you right now that, God, you are sending missionaries, Father. Lord, I thank you even for television and all of those types of things, Father, that right now your word is going forth to touch people's lives, Father. Lord, I pray in the middle of what we see in the world, God, I still know and we still know, Father, that you are just flooding your spirit out for people to be saved, Father. I pray that in every nation, Father, I pray that in every place, Father, your Spirit is being poured out, Father God, to touch people, to bring them to salvation, Lord, because the Word says that your will is for every person on the face of this earth to be saved, Father. You have plans and purposes for everyone, Father. And Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that every time a child is born, Father God, that child has a plan to be a part of your kingdom. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Father, that just millions and millions and millions and millions would come to you, Father. And Lord, that you would bring salvation on the hearts of your people, Father. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Father, I pray one more thing, that you just break the power of the enemy, Father. Devastate Satan right in the middle of his plans and just break them, God. God, his authority is already broken, but Lord, just stop every plan, Father, that he tries to bring, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. Amen. The Lord is good all the time. Amen. Praise God. Well, I tell you what, we're going to talk today a little bit more about praying and asking the Lord and wanting him to be in our life and making sure that we have our foundation strong on him. And so one thing I'm going to do before I get getting started here is I just want to read something in the book of Psalms, I believe. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalms 37. I know that my wife hates it when I pause like that, but I got to tell you something. I just always want my heart to be open to make sure I'm hearing the Lord. Amen? Praise God. In Psalms 37, verse 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't let any of those things stir you." What this scripture is really talking to us about, especially when it comes, first of all, as your life as a Christian, we have to really trust the Lord. It's not good to just know of God. You've got to truly discover who he is. The Bible says that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, because you want to know the character and the nature of God, because you want to have a confidence that he has forgiven, he will forgive, he will help, he will restore, he will work with you right where you're at. And so what I'm really talking about is total, total trust and dependency on God. You know, the reason why we want to pray first is because we want to make sure that we're not doing anything on our own power and our own agenda. We have got to constantly remind ourselves that the Bible is clear about the fact that, of course, there's a way that man can do something, but guess what? He messes it up every time. Praise God. It's going to come to destruction. I want you to know something. Everything you have in your life was intended to be built upon the foundation of the Lord and his goodness. Amen? So if we're going to trust in the Lord, it means that we're going to look to him in all things and at all times, and we're going to get an understanding of what God has to say about the situations that are out in front of us. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to read something else here in the book of Psalms. Psalms 31, praise God. It says in verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me." I want you to know something. that we're going to hear something else from the book of Psalms that was written by King David in the middle of a situation. And I just want you to know that one thing you have got to get a point to in your life is that you're not superficial with the Lord. Praise God. I want you to know something. He's a real God, and you're a real person, and He created you. So make sure you're real with Him. And why wouldn't we be? He already knows what we're going through, amen? And He already knows what we're thinking before it even happens. I'm going to share something with you, and I'm going to go to, I think, 1 Samuel here, praise God, chapter 22. And I want to remind you of a great man in the Bible who was a great king. In fact, I made reference to the fact that what was so great about him was he had his failings and his falls, but King David always rebounded to find himself in the Lord and seeking Him in every situation he went through. I think it's amazing because as a great king, instead of telling his son that was taking over all the things that he could have told him about being a king and killing Goliath, and he could have recounted all that stuff, but what he said to his son is, hey, if you're going to grow up and be a man, and you're going to be able to lead this nation, and you're going to be strong, and you're going to be a man, you're going to have to give yourself to the Lord. You're going to have to seek God. You're going to have to put Him first. You're going to have to make sure that He's your foundation. And as you know, King David went through some highs and some lows and some really difficulties. So right now, we're going to look right here at a time where King David was in a very difficult situation. Amen? Because the current king at that time, who he even killed Goliath for in serving, got to the point where he became jealous and enraged with David and was seeking to kill David. And so David couldn't find a place to be anywhere in any situation. And we're going to find out that David found himself in a cave. And I just want to read a little bit about this and then go into some different things to talk about here. But it says in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, that David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And praise God. And we're just going to go here for just a minute because I'm going to go to a Psalms that people believe, most theologians believe, was written at a time where historically, David would have been in this cave. And so we're going to go look at this psalm. And the reason we're going to do that is because I want you to be prepared for life, even life as a Christian. I want you to know something. It's one thing for us to rejoice when we get saved. It's one thing for us to be all good to go when things are going well and when things are going just the way that we thought they would go in the Lord. But I want you to know something. Even for the greatest of Christians, there's coming a day where something is going to challenge you. We're going to end on the fact that even Christ Jesus, who walked this earth without ever sinning, came to a place where his experience on this earth brought him to a place of the greatest challenge of his life. Amen? We're going to talk about that. But right now, I just want to go to this Psalms in the book of Psalms, hallelujah. Psalms 142. And we're just going to see here because remember that David is in a cave and thank God people came to support him. I mean, thank God that people outside of his family was still with him, still loved him, still respected him, still believed he was supposed to be the king. Now, the only problem was it wasn't any of those people in positions of authority. It certainly wasn't the king at the time or anybody like that. What is amazing is that David found himself surrounded again by the discontented, the distressed. And I want you to know something, that David himself was feeling a certain way during this time. And I just want to share something with you because it says in Psalms 142, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path in the way wherein I walked, have I privately laid a snare for me. I want you to know something here, that first of all, what we're seeing from David is that basically in his time of distress, he felt alone. Now, there was 400 people around him, but for whatever reason, his family was there. 400 people was there with him. But for whatever reason, David found himself in a place where he felt alone and where nobody could hear him, nobody could understand him. And I'm telling you that David was having a difficult time. And I want you to know something that I know each one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we have got to understand that there's times in our life where we feel alone, even in the midst of people. Where we got struggles and situations that sometimes are burdening us so much that we can't even share it, or we don't think we can share it, or we don't think someone will understand. And I want you to know something, that thank God that David understood in the middle of this, in the middle of his worst moment, that the one thing he did not want to do was pretend or hide or be fake with the Lord. See, I want you to know something. Sometimes we don't get delivered out of our situation because we don't go deep enough with God. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Boy, I feel something on that this morning. Woo! I want you to know something. When we're in the toughest situations in our life, it is no time for us to be fake, surfacey, or put out some blanket prayer before God that isn't a sincere place of really digging in and saying, hey, God, I'm scared here. Hey, God, I need help. I mean, David, he's sitting here saying, oh, my goodness, Lord. Lord, I'm making a supplication to you. I'm crying out, and I'm pouring out my complaint. I wonder, are we afraid to complain to God? Are we afraid to let him know that we're frustrated? I hope not. Are we afraid to let him know that, Lord, I'm a little vulnerable here? I mean, I believe in you, but I got to tell you right now, I'm feeling some kind of a way. I'm feeling fear. I'm feeling distressed. I'm feeling some difficulty. And what's so powerful is that as David is pouring out his heart, he says suddenly in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed with thee, then thou knewest my path. The Lord already knows where you're at. The Lord already knows what you're going through. He knows if you're at your best season. He knows if you're at your worst season. He knows if you're partway through either or the other. He knows if you're all the way in or partway in. Uh-oh. Whew, which we don't want to be on that line too often. Whew. Praise God. We don't want to be on the fence. But I want you to know something, that God not only knows where you're at, he knows the end from the beginning. So he knows if you're partway through. He knows if you're three quarters of the way through. And I want you to know something, in every situation, when you lean into him and you really pray and you really step in, you will hear from the Lord. You will receive a confirmation. I mean, I've been in situations where my circumstances hadn't changed one iota. They were as bad as they had been the last couple weeks. But after time in prayer, something happened, and there was a shift that gave me peace, even in the middle of not seeing something different. And I want you to know something, that we have to be real enough with God that we go to places where he can really speak with us, because he's not going to leave you in the middle of a storm. He's not going to leave you on the boat to sink. He's going to bring you right through to the other side of that situation. Amen? It says here, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now, I don't know that this is a true statement of David's, because he did have his family around him who obviously loved him. But at the same time, I want you to know, but he's being real about how he felt in the middle of something. In the middle of this situation, he felt like nobody loved him. And I want you to know something, that there are times in our life where even when someone puts an arm around us to give us comfort, we still are going to have to go to that place where we open ourselves up to God, because he's the one that has to bring the true restoration and the deliverance and the freedom and the healing. Amen? It says here, I cried unto thee, O Lord. Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Uh-oh. All of a sudden, David is starting to get encouraged. Have you ever been praying and you start a certain way, but in the middle of it, God comes, and before you know it, something starts changing, even though nothing circumstantially on the outside has changed? That's how faith works. Faith believes in what you do not see. And faith starts to steer you towards the outcome that will bring you to that place of restoration, healing, peace, overcoming, delivering, victory. Those things are in it, but we got to start sometimes in places that may be tough. And then it says, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my prosecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I want you to know something, that when you go to God, it is okay to start in that place of despair. But if you're really going after him, before you know it, even in that moment of despair, something's going to change, just like it changed for David. And before you know it, David was starting to confess what he was back to be able to believe about God in his situation. You know, it's amazing, too, because there is verification, right, in David's story, that he came out of that cave. And what's so amazing is he ended up having such an impact on those that were in that cave that many of them started becoming the mighty men of valor that rose up with David. You know, it's amazing, because we forget that when we read the stories like about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we forget that Daniel was the fourth part in that. And Daniel went to the lion's den. And it says that when Daniel came out of the lion's den, guess what happened? He also made room for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be promoted in the time that he lived. I want you to know something, that when we come through situations and when we pray and allow God to lead us through seasons into different places, not only will you grow and get better, but those around you will. Praise God. I want you to know something, that God wants you to pray first and lean into him, because he wants to be the center of your life and help you in every situation, no matter what, and every time that you have something going on. I'm going to read something to you, and really this is during a time where God's people were not living the way they were supposed to, and as a result, things were going on bad around them. And I want you to know that in this situation, they had brought it on themselves. Praise God. But I do want you to know what the solution was to bring them out of this situation. And I'm just going to really read one verse that right there, right here, because I just really want to make a point to you that in Hosea chapter 10, there's a voice that says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I want you to know something, that there are promises in the Bible that when we seek God, things will change. I want you to know something. What does it mean to sow righteousness? Surrender. Check our lives. Make sure we're being obedient and living for the Lord in the ways that we know how. Read the Word of God. And included in that seeking of righteousness comes down to that time where we are praying and seeking God to intervene. You know, sometimes we read scriptures that says, pray without ceasing, and sometimes it's hard for us to realize, well, what does that mean? How can I pray without ceasing? Well, I want you to know something. Praying without ceasing is a continuation of what you prayed about. Once we pray, we stand up and we say, okay, God, according to the way I prayed and according to the way I believe you want me to go, that's what I'm doing. Lord, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you're helping me. Lord, I'm just stepping into it today, God. I need you. You know how I'm feeling. You know I'm not at my best. You know what I'm going through. I want to be different. I want to serve you. I want to see your outcomes. But right now, I'm on this journey. And I want you to know something, that we need to understand that God is not afraid of you coming to him in the middle of your situation. In fact, hello, wake up. That's what he's there for. Woo! Amen. I mean, in your worst condition, where you were so far from him that you weren't even thinking about him, he sent Jesus to the cross, didn't he? He sent him to make a way, not just for those who had gone before and those that was there. He said that I'm here for those that are to come. And we're going to look at that. I want you to know something. God has showed you time and time again that he is the one that wants to help you through life. And he's here for you. For you to lean into him. For you to take a step towards him. For you to open up your heart and be available for God every moment that you get the opportunity in this thing called life. You know, I think it's amazing because at moments like this, I want to remind you that the Lord said, hey, I'm going to give you daily bread. I want to remind you that the Bible also says that when we're walking with the Lord, how often do we have to deny ourselves? Every once in a while. On occasion, when we flip a coin, when we feel like it, when we're really feeling good about ourselves. No, the Bible says, hey, deny yourself daily. In other words, denying yourself doesn't just mean that you're giving up things, or denying yourself doesn't just mean that you're not sinning. Denying yourself means that we give up independence and we give up our own way to make sure we're surrendering to God. And that surrender should be on a daily basis. Lord, I thank you that you're Lord. I thank you that you saved me. God, help me throughout my day. And Father, let me hear you. Let me please you. Let me walk with you. Let me respond the way you want me to respond. And Lord, if there's someone I need to speak to today, just let me speak to them. Praise God. I'll never forget one time. I'm just telling you this story because the Lord brought it to me right now. It wasn't in my notes. But I remember one time I said, Lord, I just want to repent of the times I've been truly selfish. And God, I want to make sure that whether I'm going to the store, or whether I'm going to get myself a Big Mac, praise God, hallelujah, or whatever I'm doing, I want to make sure, God, that I'm available to you first. And I mean, I was sitting in the Walmart parking lot and I prayed. And I'm going to tell you that, obviously later I'll tell you that clearly that wasn't me, it was God. But anyhow, I just prayed. I said, God, even as I go into this Walmart, before I think of myself, I want to make sure that I'm just pleasing you. And I went into Walmart, and I was going in there specifically to buy something. You know how guys are. I mean, ladies like to shop. Guys are more like hunters, so they're only going in there exactly for what they want. And so I couldn't find it, so I asked a person to help me out. And the minute I asked them to help me, all of a sudden, the Lord said, hey. And I said, wow. Hey, before we go anywhere, how are you doing today? And I witnessed to this lady. And I'm telling you, she started crying. And so I prayed for her, praise God. And I told her to just put the Lord first and he will work it out. And the next time I went to church, there was a guy. And I'm telling you, he kind of had a frowny face. So he wasn't always the nicest man. So even when you said hi to him, you didn't always get a nice response back. But he came over to me and he said, hey, I need to talk to you. And I said, you do? He said, yeah. And he started tearing up. Because he said, hey, did you talk to a young lady at a Walmart? And I said, well, when? He said, just the other day. And I said, oh, yeah, I did. And he said, I want you to know something. He said, that's my daughter, and we've been estranged for a long time, and now she's ready to come back to the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you that when you pray and put God first, he's going to help you. Now, sometimes he might take a moment to have you do something for him, but he is going to address your need. And even when you're doing something for him, let me tell you something, it's making you better. It's growing you into who he wants you to be, and it's opening up something for somebody. Because that man told me, he said, hey, I've been praying and fasting for her, and I've been praying a long time. See, sometimes just because we don't see it right away, this man told me that his relationship with his daughter got far worse before it got better. He said, in fact, one time he almost gave up on praying. He said, Lord, I'm done. It's over. She's out there living crazy, and she ain't ever coming back. And he said that shortly after that, the Lord convicted him, and he said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to start praying again. And then, boom, he just used me in Walmart to help that process happen. I want you to know something, that right now, your prayers that have went up to the Lord are before him. And it is a sweet aroma to him. And he's in the middle of helping you, even if you can't see it yet. Hang on. Don't back up. Don't give up. Stay the course. He's with you. He's working it out. He's going to bring it to pass. He's going to do it. Praise the Lord. Because that's how he does it. Amen. You know, I don't know how long David stayed in that cave. But I do know this, he came out of that cave. I do know this, he walked in God's purpose for him. I do know this, that he became a great king. And he did that with the Lord's help. You know, I'm just going to go to the book of John here for just a minute. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to go to John chapter 17. And I want to remind you that before we get to John 17, remember that the Lord found himself in a situation where he had served God his whole life. He had done no sin. He's the only perfect man that ever walked on this earth. And here he was living sin-free before God. And ultimately it came down to him having to go to the cross. And we do know that when Jesus was faced with the cross, he didn't just shake it off and say, hey, this is going to be easy for me. He didn't jump up and down and say, hallelujah, woo, it's here, it's time. Even though there's often times in the Bible where he told his disciples, hey, this is what I got to do. I've got to go away from you, and this is going to happen. But we do know that when it was really getting close, Jesus himself had to take time to go and seek his Father. And in the middle of the distress and in the middle of the toughness of the situation, even for Jesus, he said to his Father, Father, if you can, get this cup off of me. Take it away. Remove this cup. If there's another way, I would like to go that way. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's like that for us. Amen. But you know what? Let's hope that we have the humility, the ability to surrender, the ability like Jesus to say, but Father, even with my lack of desire to go through this and my hope that we could do something different, not my way, but your way. You know, I want you to know that sometimes in our relationships, our personal relationship with the Lord, our relationship with our spouses, our relationships with our children, grandparents, co-workers, whoever it may be, there are times in each one of those situations where we're going to have to say, you know what? I'd like to do this or that, but I am going to back up from what I want, and I'm going to ask the Lord to just help me get through this situation. Praise God. I'd like to get on the other side of Miss Regina's journals or her mind sometimes and think how often she's had to say, Lord, I would like to get rid of this guy. Hallelujah. But, whoo, not my way, God. I'm going to have to work it out and do it your way. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. No, I really don't want to know how many times she's had to do that. But what I want you to know, seriously, is that even the Lord in his perfection faced situations in this thing called life that were challenging to him. I mean, you got to remember that here he is preaching the good news of God and telling everybody about it, and all he wants is for people to understand his Father in heaven and come to salvation. And oftentimes, he was kicked out of towns, he was ridiculed, he was persecuted, he was told that how can you be anything? We don't even know who your Father really is. Woo! He was treated all kinds of ways, and he still had to suck it up. Praise God. Hallelujah. He still had to breathe. And he still had to go forward. Amen? And I just want to just share something that Jesus prayed in the book of John. And I'm not going to go through this whole chapter, but I'm telling you, read the book of John chapter 17. It's profound because Jesus is praying. So I'm first going to read something that he prayed about himself, and then I'm going to read something that he prayed about the disciples. And it starts out with Jesus praying to the Father, and these are the words that Jesus spoke. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You know, it's amazing because Jesus is saying, glorify me, Father, strengthen me, help me do this. And then he said this, glorify me or strengthen me so I can be such a light that I glorify you. I want you to know something. When we're asking the Lord to help us, when we're asking the Lord to save us, when we're asking the Lord to intervene, remember that we're not asking him to intervene just for ourselves, or we shouldn't be asking him to intervene just for ourselves. But we should be asking him to intervene not only because he's going to save us in the middle of that, but also it's going to give us a right to lift him up. Somebody's going to tell you a story and you're going to be able to say, hey, all I can tell you is when I was at that place in my life, I went to the Lord and this is what he did for me. This is how he helped me. So Jesus is asking the Lord to strengthen him and he's receiving God's help. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's amazing because he's praying this to his Father. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Father, return me to that place. Restore me to who I am and all the things that I'm a part of. Be with me, Jesus is saying. And then I'm going to skip down here, just for the sake of the moment, I'm going to skip down here and read some of the things that the Lord prayed about us. It says in verse 15, I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. And I want you to know something, that when the Lord is saying, keep them from the evil, it doesn't mean that you're not going to go through difficult things. It means that he wants to keep you from being impacted by the negative things that you endure, by protecting your relationship with him, by protecting your faith with him, by getting you through that situation to the other side, still in relationship with him. Praise God. Not that it's always going to be exactly how we thought it was going to be, but he wants to make sure that our Father in heaven keeps us from the evil. In other words, there's a place in the scripture where he says, hey, I've lost none of those who you've given to me in my hand. In other words, Jesus is saying, Father, above all, keep them from losing their salvation. Don't take them out of this world till they finish their course. Why not? Because how would he have somebody to witness for him if we got saved and got to go right to heaven? That'd be quite an experience, though, to get saved and be translated in the same minute. But then he says this, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Once you get saved, you're no longer of this world. You're a unique creation. You're a special person. You're a special being. You're supernaturally in the family of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Remember, this is Jesus praying to the Father. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, Jesus was saying, hey, I'm not just praying for my disciples and those who love me right now. I'm praying that once I go to the cross and leave this earth, I'm praying for everyone that hears the gospel after this point, that they would be saved and blessed. Amen? So the Lord prayed for us before he even went to the cross. Woo! Boy, that's exciting, isn't it? Praise God. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Do you see that? We might have some differences. There might be some things that we don't agree on. But one thing we should be in unity on, and one thing we need to agree upon, is that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of our life, and he is the Son of the living God. Amen? On that, we have absolutely got to be unified, and we've got to stand strong, and we've got to know that even Jesus in his prayer said, God, I'm praying because you are the only God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Thank you, Jesus, for praying that to our Father. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before the foundation of the world. Praise God. Thank you for praying that, Jesus, because when we are absent from this body, we get to be present with the Lord. Amen? And I thank God that we get to go where he is. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Praise the name of the Lord. I tell you what powerful words that Jesus has prayed for you and I. You know what's powerful is that today we can rest assured that Jesus already made a way for us. This is why he could boldly look at his disciples and say, hey, I want you to know something right now, that when I go up, you can pray anything in my name, and my Father will do it. When I'm not here, you need to have a confidence to know that now you have a right. Excuse me. Woo! Praise God. You have a right to go directly to the Father in my name, and you will be heard. I want to remind each and every one of us, hey, the Lord is waiting to hear your voice. The Lord is waiting for you to interact with him. Our Father in heaven is looking forward to the moment that we truly surrender and open up our hearts to the fullness of what he has for us. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift you up and exalt you this morning, God. Father, I thank you that, God, you have made a way. Father, I thank you that you have an expectation that we will come to you, God. I thank you, Father, that we can have a transparent heart with you. Lord, I thank you that even when we're frustrated, Father, in fact, especially when we're frustrated, especially if we're angry, especially if we're grieving, even if we are joyful and full of excitement, even if we're at the best moment, Father, I thank you that our first step should be to come towards you, God, to open up our hearts towards you, Father, and in every situation, put you first, God, because you will bring to pass what our life needs. Now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, is there anybody in here that says, Pastor, I need to put Jesus first because I need to get saved today? Or, Pastor, I need to put the Lord first because I'm backslidden. I haven't been living for him. Anybody here? Praise God. Amen. I see that hand. You can put that hand down. Anybody watching on live stream this morning? Praise God. As a church, we're going to say this prayer together, so that those who are seeking the Lord right now and know that they need to either be saved or return to him, we're going to use our faith with them and pray this prayer. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. I'm in need of salvation, and I'm in need of help in this life. I want my relationship with you. I want to be saved. I want to live for you. I want to fulfill purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you what, I definitely know that some people are in need of prayer, so I'm definitely going to do that. And one person that we're going to pray for is that, you guys know, last week we prayed for Jeannie, and I'm happy to tell you that she went through some work with the doctors this week, and she got some pretty good news. The doctor thinks that things are different than what they originally thought, and they think that with the procedure she's going to go through here in the next week or two, that she should come out in really good shape. And then we know that God's going to finish that off with healing and restoration. Amen? So let's just put her before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for these steps that you are helping Jeannie take, God. We thank you for the report, God, that you have given, Father, that this process she's going through will help bring her to that place of healing, restoration, and completeness. Father, I thank you that your hand will be upon those doctors, Father God, and I thank you that every step of the way you will be there, Lord, and that healing and restoration and full recovery will come quickly by your goodness. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. All right, with that being said, I want to remind you that you won't have to hear my voice for the next couple weeks. Praise God. So hopefully that'll be a blessing to you to get a take a break, but you will hear the word here, and what's going to come forth is going to touch your life. So make sure you're here on Thursdays and Sundays. I'm telling you that God is going to bring forth a word that's going to help everybody here. Amen? So I want you to go and be blessed. And like I said, anybody that needs prayer, come up here and we'll pray together. Amen? God bless you.